So if I can learn about American football without actually having to learn about it, that would be so helpful.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern podcast. Bayern Munich dropped points on Saturday for the first time in the Hansi Flick era, losing 2-1 to Bayer Leverkusen despite dominating their opponents in nearly every aspect of play. Nevertheless, Jupp Heynckes has given full backing to Flick ahead of a massive match against Bundesliga leaders Borussia Mönchengladbach this weekend. I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to talk about all of that with my friends Garrett Kerber.
Hello, hello.
Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And last but not least, Sebastian Zimmermann.
Hi.
So I just want to start off by reading a few statistics from yesterday's match between Bayern Munich and Bayer Leverkusen. So just looking at it, Bayern had 74% ball possession to Leverkusen's 26%, 23 total shots to Leverkusen's 11. Bayern had 11 on target to Leverkusen's 7. We hit the post 3 or 4 times, depending on where you check. I'm not sure why there's a discrepancy there. We had 8 corner kicks compared to their 2, 4 big chances. 4 big chances missed. We played 708 passes compared to their 241, and we out-tackled them 15-12. So with all of that in mind, it seems like it should have been a very easy win for Bayern Munich, yet they fell 2-1. Sebastian, help me, like I'm sure a lot of the people listening, make sense of what happened yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that was pretty clear, and I think you already quite hinted at that, is that we just didn't finish well enough. There were so many shots that were not quite on target or were kind of on target but hit the post and so on. So I think we definitely need to talk about this. That was a huge problem. That kind of still doesn't answer why that happened, I guess. It just goes one step further. I think... the main reason, in my opinion, is that I think Flick is slowly trying to do new stuff. When you try to do some new stuff, yeah, the routine is just not going to work as smoothly as it would otherwise. You get a bit sloppy, I guess, and then things like these can happen. And I think we had slightly too much of that on offense, slightly too much of that on defense. And yeah, that's how we ended up with this result, I would think. It's frustrating, of course. It's quite frustrating because it was really not such a bad game. It was not, I think it wasn't the greatest Bundesliga game this season. I think, who said that? I think Rummenigge has said that this was kind of our best game, so don't worry. I think that was a bit too far, I think. I would not have gone that far if I were him, but yeah, it was still a quite a good game, I would say. And yeah, it's kind of frustrating. Yeah, I really liked what they did on offense. I didn't think it worked perfectly, but I really liked how there was a lot of movement up front. Gnabry was often appearing kind of as a striker more than he used to. So there were a lot of things I did like, but yeah, it didn't work out perfectly.
Yeah, Sebastian, you talked about the wasted chances, and that's probably one of the biggest things that affected Bayern Munich yesterday, as bad as they were at times in defense. Tim, maybe you can expound on that a little bit more, you know, add some of what you saw from that game for Bayern.
I think despite the fact that it was the same backline that we've seen for the past few games, like Martinez, Alaba, Davies, who I still think is doing fantastically, and Pavard, while it's worked before, going up against this Leverkusen attack, Leon Bailey, Kevin Volland, Moussa Diaby, Bellarabi when he came on, these are not slow players. These are probably some of the quickest. Like, isn't Bailey like good friends with Usain Bolt? Like, okay, it doesn't really mean that he's as quick as Usain Bolt, but it's the same sort of principle. Like, this is a guy that is very, very, very quick. Even when he's on bad form, he is still very dangerous. Having Javi Martinez and Benjamin Pavard on that side of defence was incredibly dangerous. Playing that high up the pitch, incredibly dangerous. And it got found out. It's great to see Alphonso Davies been able to use his speed to, you know, if the ball goes beyond him, he can make it up. And he was still doing that in the last minutes. But it was such a dangerous setup, I think, from the beginning. I think a couple of players have kind of noted that Hansi Flick likes to have his team further up the pitch so you have greater control. Kovac obviously defended quite deep. I think this is probably the game that we could have done with some of that. Granted, Kovac's defence was shaky, to put it very generously. But I do think that this match was kind of over before it began. In terms of like general wasted chances, this isn't anything new. Bayern have been wasteful for the best part of 10 years now. Like, it's really not that surprising anymore. It's a shame that Lewandowski's goal run appears to be over, but I don't think he's finished scoring goals for the rest of the season. I think he'll obviously get more. But yeah, the main core problem here was there was a lack of speed in defence. Specifically, like, Alaba's a very quick guy. Fonzie's a very quick guy as well. But the fact that both Martinez and Pavard had to cover the right side of defence, I think that was always going to be problematic.
Well, and do you think that's mostly just down to the injury issues at Bayern right now, or do you think that some of that can be pinned on Hansi Flick and the starting lineup that he put out?
I think kind of, but like, Lucas Hernandez is probably, well, and Niklas Süle as well, those are two very fast centre-backs. So maybe if our like first-rate defensive line was fit, then this wouldn't necessarily be a problem. But it was Boateng on the bench? I think Boateng was fit for this game. I can't actually remember, which is ridiculous because I was there and it was only yesterday, but oh well, I'll put that down to old age. I don't think it was really too much of an issue of like, oh, okay, he had to do the best with what he had. Maybe it is. Like, what do I know? Maybe he could have done something different. But I do think an element of that is if you are going to be insistent on using this back line, which had been successful in the past few games, but having them be so far up the pitch at any one point, yeah, maybe he should have used different players, but the players that he did use, in my eyes, were not the right ones at all.
It's interesting you brought up earlier Alphonso Davies, and you said that you thought he had a pretty good match. And I'm seeing a lot of mixed reactions to how he played on Saturday. I'm seeing a lot of people really disappointed with him. Others like you, Tim, saying that no, it was actually still a pretty good game for him playing as a left back. Sebastian, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on how Alphonso Davies played. He did kind of give the ball away in the build-up to Leverkusen's first goal. So would you agree with Tim, pretty good game from Davies? Or do you think not so hot from the Canadian?
I think Davies was quite all right. There definitely were those bigger mistakes that you were talking about. But I think that was just how this game was going. I don't think he was much better than the guys on the other side, really. So I would not really say that the lineup was a huge problem there. I think that's maybe a bit too easy. But on the other hand, I would not say that he was much better than Pavard or Martinez, which you could, I guess, kind of think after what you guys said about speed and so on, because Davies should be the first guy we put in there if we're talking about speed. I think there were a couple of mistakes, but I guess that's just going to happen sooner or later against that kind of opposition and that kind of speed. I think it was really more of a systemic thing. How the players linked up and how the tactics worked, and not so much about individual mistakes. I think there were so many changes to the lineup. It's all still very new, and I think we were trying new things. I think that's more the kind of reasoning that I would follow here. I think he was all right. He was not one of the better players on the pitch, but he was also not bad, I think. He was like in the middle, I would say.
What might have hurt Davies could be that Ivan Perisic had, I would say, a particularly bad game at left wing. So he wasn't offering a whole lot going forward. He got himself in some good positions at times, but he was one of the biggest offenders in terms of wasting chances. But then on top of that, he didn't track back like you would expect of him. He certainly wasn't showing the effort that we had seen from Kingsley Coman in recent weeks. So, Garrett, I know you didn't get to watch the full match, but talking about Ivan Perisic, we are now, you know, several months into the season. Do you think that his time at Bayern Munich is something that's been productive, or do you think that instead of, you know, seeing him in the starting lineup, we should maybe be giving some younger guys some minutes that could contribute to the team going forward?
I think definitely the latter of those two options. I think that Perisic has looked good in opportunities that he's gotten when he's had just, you know, the end of matches to kind of to play out. He's had he had several matches, his first few matches with Bayern, that seemed like he was able to score and get several assists in limited time. And I think that that's probably his best role going forward. I mean, it doesn't sound like he's probably going to have that option to buy picked back up now that Kovac is gone. And it's not like he's, as you said, it's not like he's setting the world on fire with his play in the opportunities he's gotten the last few times. So, yeah, I think that it'd be better to just keep rolling out Kingsley Coman or Coutinho, maybe trying to just find different wing options. Maybe, you know, we haven't really talked much about the winter transfer window coming up, but maybe they look to kind of bolster their wing depth a little bit in the winter. I think that's probably a little bit down my list of priorities, but yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit upsetting that he started so well, and it looked like this is going to be a much better loan deal than what he's kind of looked the last few matches. And there's still a lot of season left, but to me, if you were going to rank wing options, I would, if you, you know, lock in Gnabry on one side, you're probably thinking Coutinho, then Coman, and then Perisic. So, and actually, I don't know if I might even want to see Davies there before I see Perisic starting. But I do think that he's just in that stage of his career where coming off the bench, he could be really valuable still. So we'll see how it goes. I don't know that I want to see him in the starting 11 anytime soon.
Yeah, I think you make a great point. All of his best performances in a Bayern jersey have come from the bench. And I think that he does offer a whole lot there, you know, kind of coming in when Bayern have the lead or maybe it's a draw and really putting the nail in the coffin. You know, he's got that drive, that determination, even coming off the bench to just keep running and keep running when the other, you know, the other team's players are just dead tired. And that makes a big difference towards the end of the match. And I think you're probably right. I think that is a very fitting role for him, especially at this stage in his career. So, not really the best game for Bayern Munich, Tim, but are there any players, or is there any one player that you think maybe could have left the pitch holding their head high, saying, you know, okay, I had a good game? Any players, or one player in particular?
Neuer made some incredible saves, so it's nice to see that he's kind of, a lot of people seem to be writing him off, saying, oh, Ter Stegen's number one. No. Yeah, Neuer's doing great at the moment. I would never have taken Müller off. I think that whole concept of Müller spielt immer, I think that's kind of out the window at this point. But when he's on form, hasn't he got the most assists in the league at the moment?
Mm-hmm.
If he's doing that, if he's scored and buying a... I'm saying it now. Flick got this whole thing wrong. I'm just putting that out there. Like, if he's obviously scoring again, okay, one goal still counts as scoring. If he's doing that and buying a trailing and you need a goal from something, Müller is that guy. You know, if Lewandowski isn't that guy, Müller is that guy. I think he played really well. It's great to see he's kind of playing as this... He's sort of anywhere between a second striker and a very attacking number eight. as only he could, somehow filling in several different roles at any one point. I think it's really nice to see that he's still capable of being a great team player, you know, despite the constant rumours that he's really unhappy at the club and he's desperate to leave. I don't buy any of that still. And by the way, those rumours seem to have disappeared really quickly. So, but again, that's my own problem. That's my own fight to have. Yeah, I think Müller and Neuer were two of the best players in an otherwise fairly lackluster team. And Davies as well. I think he did fine because he isn't a left back.
I really agree with you on Thomas Müller. I don't get at all why Hansi Flick thought it would be a good idea to take him off. I think I said that in the chat during the game. I think he was our best player, maybe aside from Neuer, who I would also say had a really good game. And I'm really disappointed because a extremely long streak came to an end yesterday. It was the first time that Bayern Munich had ever lost a game in which Thomas Müller scored a goal in the Bundesliga. So that was really disappointing to see come to an end. But it was nice to see Thomas Müller finally break his goal-scoring drought and put one in the back of the net, even though he's, you know, providing an assist basically every other game when he gets on the pitch. Sebastian, anyone that you would add to that list that you think had a good game yesterday, or do you think Tim's just about got it right?
I would definitely have mentioned Thomas Müller too. I was kind of thinking the same thing. It's not a great idea to take Thomas Müller off when he's performing like this. I would not have done that. I guess the best part of the game was the midfield. So I could name any other of those two guys, Goretzka and Kimmich. I was quite happy with their performance too. You could argue that it might have been good for the game if we would have had more of a double pivot. Maybe that would probably have been slightly safer. Maybe that would have been a good idea. But yeah, it was what it was. And for the roles they were assigned, I think Kimmich and Goretzka had a very good game. I think Kimmich slightly even more so than Goretzka. But yeah, it's interesting because the struggle for that other spot in midfield between Goretzka and Tolisso is really heating up. And yeah, it's really hard to say who's number one for that spot right now. It's definitely not Thiago, but I would really hard pressed to decide if Goretzka or Tolisso are the guy right now there.
Yeah, that's definitely something to watch, and we'll kind of talk about that more in a minute. I do want to talk about one, I guess, non-Bayern player for a second, and that's Kai Havertz, who didn't even play at all for Bayer Leverkusen yesterday, but he's also a player that all four of us I know are a big fan of and have talked in the past about how much we would love to see him come to Bayern Munich sometime in the future. Garrett, it's not really been the best season for him, but do you think that he's still kind of a must-have player for Bayern Munich? Or has his stock dropped pretty significantly? So what's your opinion on him at this point in time?
I think his stock is probably down, but like it's probably down overall. But I think amongst Bayern fans and amongst Bayern decision makers, it should probably still be where it has been. I mean, he's still very, very young and still one of the best players in the Bundesliga, one of the best players in Germany. And like I was going to make the joke that the reason he didn't play is because there's already an agreement in place and they didn't want to play him against his club that he's going to be leaving, you know? So that's my hope and my little pipe dream there. But no, I think that he has had kind of a down year in the sense that I think the hype kind of made him out to be this always unplayable, you know, just juggernaut of a player, and it's really easy to remember or to forget that he is just 19 or 20 or, you know, and players that young are going to be really inconsistent. And if they're not, then they're not going to be available. somebody's going to have already locked them up. So I still think that he would look fantastic in a Byron shirt, and I think he needs to be a top priority this next summer if he's available. Even though it's not exactly a position of need, it's going to be a position of need coming. You're always looking for that kind of player. I've been kind of monitoring him this year, hoping that he'd still remain good so that we'd still want to buy him, but maybe, you know, knock some zero or something off of that price tag so that Bayern can get him and also get that fullback we've been wanting and things of that nature. But yeah, I'm still 100% on the Kai Havertz train, so, and I don't know what's going to take to get me off of that.
Yeah, Sebastian, you are in Germany, and as we all know, you are a German football expert. So what about you? What do you think about Kai Havertz? What's the general feeling in Germany? Has his value decreased any, or is he still just one of the most coveted players across Europe?
Yeah, I guess that's kind of the problem. You would hope that his stock would have dropped in any significant kind of way, but I really don't think it has. People are talking about 130 million right now, and some of those statements coming from have official sources, I guess. So it really doesn't look like that price tag is going to go down at all, because before we were talking about, like, yeah, is he worth 100 million or isn't he? And now we are talking something significantly above this 100 million. So, yeah, I sadly really can't see that. Well, German fans have always been quite critical of German youth players at times, I guess. So there has not always been that hype train like you would maybe think. But with Havertz, yeah, I think in Germany, even more people have gotten used to the thought that this German young guy might be worth such a price and that he might go to clubs like Real Madrid or Liverpool or something like that if he doesn't go to Bayern. And I think in Germany, even people have been taking him more seriously recently than they had before, I guess. So I think both in Germany and both in terms of what the media is talking about, yeah, it's really going in the wrong way for us right now. But I still think he should be our guy. I think that's really a player you can build your future on. He can be a very important piece, more so than the other alternatives that people are talking about. So, yeah, we're going to have to decide how far we're going to go there, I guess, because who knows, maybe this price tag is going to be even worse once we are in the summer.
Yeah, I may be a little bit frustrated with him for messing up my fantasy team earlier in the year, but I would definitely still put him number two behind, I don't even have to say it, at the top of my Bayern wish list. So I guess that is something.
Let's get Rafinha back.
Yeah, that's yeah. That's definitely, I mean, that's not fullback. It. He's definitely a player to keep your eye on, though, and I would agree. I don't think that his price is going down significantly because of this, and I still think that he's one for the future and for the now at the same time. Despite the Leverkusen loss, it wasn't all bad news for Bayern this week. They also won 6-0 against Red Star in the Champions League this week, cementing their place at the top of the group. Robert Lewandowski scored 4 goals in 15 minutes, and somehow that's still not the most impressive feat he's ever accomplished in his career. But that just all goes to say, you know, Hansi Flick is still at the wheel and things are still going very, very well. And if you ask Jupp Heynckes, who I would say holds a pretty big sway over not only Bayern fans, but also probably the Bayern decision makers, Hansi Flick is the man for the job, the long-term job at Bayern Munich. So, Tim, earlier today he said, FC Bayern now have a great chance to have a coach who can shape an era over a longer period of time, talking about Hansi Flick, saying that he should be a long-term solution for Bayern Munich. Would you agree with Jupp Heynckes here? Or do you think maybe this is a bit too soon? And Jaap Hyncus is just trying to get Byron to hire someone before they call him and ask him to come back.
Yeah, I actually think that is genuinely the case. Yeah, this is very soon. Like, look at Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Okay, it's not quite the same. But Hansi Flick hasn't managed a senior team, like a senior club since, let me look at this, since Hoffenheim in 2005. I really don't think he may well be. I'm not going to say that he isn't, even though I was just about to. But I don't think right now you can say, yeah, he's got everything that Bayern need. Because something that I'm kind of quite disappointed in the club with is the fact that we're kind of insistent that whoever the manager is, they need to come in and they need to adapt to this style of football that Louis van Gaal set up almost 10 years ago now. So I think whoever, and I've said this before a couple of times, that I think whoever the manager is at the start of next season needs to be the same manager at the start of five seasons from now, if that makes sense. I don't know if Hansi Flick is that guy. I don't think you can base everything. I don't think you can say he's not good enough based on this Leverkusen game. By the same token, I don't think you can say that he is good enough based on the previous results. He got great result against Dortmund. That's come to be somewhat expected against Red Star Belgrade. Again, that sort of result should be a given. I don't know if he is the guy. I'd love to see it happen. Like, as long as Bayern can keep playing like really energetic football and getting good results, like he's clearly got something. Because I think it was kind of largely considered that he was responsible for Germany's World Cup victory more than anybody else. To the extent of which I'm not too sure. I don't think any of us were actually involved in that conversation. So maybe he was hugely influential. That remains to be seen. I do think that if he is to stay for longer, then great. Like, I'm not going to be disappointed. I quite like how we're playing at the moment. And yesterday aside, the results have been very good. But I don't think that, like, while I really appreciate everything that Hyncus has done for the team and the club's history, I don't think that that's the sort of opinion that's going to help matters. I think, as you said, you know, beyond anything else, he's probably just hoping that he isn't getting the call again. I think Bayern do need to think this is an elite club. They need an elite level manager. And at the moment, Hansi Flick isn't at that level. But hey, what do I know? Maybe he could be at that level sooner rather than later.
For me, I think it kind of depends on how much Jupp knows of Flick. Like, if he knows, like, kind of how he prepares and he knows his philosophy and the way he thinks and stuff, then I think that it does hold some weight that such a successful manager really backs Flick as kind of the guy. But I do think, even more so than anything that Jaap Hyncus says, is just this match against Gladbach on Saturday is going to be absolutely massive. And it's maybe going to be the biggest match for Bayern on this side of the season. In that, you know, we get to see kind of what were some of the things that Flick identified as, these are some mistakes I made as a manager, these are some mistakes we made as a team, and how do we, you know, bounce back after a loss. And I think that in some ways, and I think the tone from all of us after this loss is not one that's a real dire, you know, we got to get rid of Lewandowski because he hasn't scored in two straight Bundesliga matches, and Flick out and all that stuff. Is Flick off? Anyway, we get to see, you know, how do you respond to a bad situation? How do you respond to maybe not getting some calls that maybe you felt you should have gotten? How do you respond to, you know, those shots, you know, inexplicably missing, all that stuff? Because it seemed like when Kovac was in charge, there was just kind of this, oh boy, here we go again mentality that happened. And not that there would necessarily be that on this coming Saturday, so early, with a new coach, but you want to see that the players believe that this manager can get it right, and you want to see what does he do. And I don't think that we would have seen that had this loss not happened. So I'm really looking forward to that match Saturday, not only because Gladbach is kind of a team that I've kind of kept an eye on, aside from Bayern, but also because, I mean, this is the current top of the table team in the Bundesliga, and Bayern get to see how they bounce back from a loss.
Yeah, I think you're right that, looking at it in context, you know, Gladbach are the top team in the Bundesliga, Bayern Munich coming off a really disappointing loss that probably did not deserve to be a loss. You know, all that in mind, this could be the, you know, with Hansi Flick still up in the air as to how long he'll be here, this could be the biggest match for Bayern Munich on this side of the winter break. So it is something that's definitely exciting and gives us a good, I guess, segue to kind of talk about that match. So, Garrett, you brought up those various things that Flick needs to identify and hopefully fix heading into the match this weekend. Sebastian, what are some of those things in your eyes that Flick needs to maybe fix isn't the best word, but adjust so that way, you know, going in to face the top team in the league, Bayern Munich have a little bit of a better chance and can play more dominantly as they had in the matches leading up to Saturday's loss?
I guess two things I would definitely like to see. Number one is being a bit more careful in midfield, I guess. Maybe, having more of a asymmetric kind of thing where you have kind of a double pivot, I guess. That would make me feel a bit more safe, I guess, in this situation. Because, yeah, I think we were a bit too offensive in some situations where we made it too easy for the opposition. I guess that's one thing I would like to see. The other thing I would like to see is, yeah, we need to find our solution on the left side, I guess. We need to find something that properly works there. We cannot only rely on Lewandowski and Gnabry and Müller, of course, in the middle in terms of offense, but we also need, well, the left side to pull their weight there. And yeah, I think we really need to find something that's working over there. It can't be Davies right now. If Davies would not have to be our left back, I might even say let's try Davies maybe, but I guess that's not going to happen. I think I would go with Coutinho there, but it's not only about plugging someone in there, but also, yeah, finding the solution how to make them, yeah, more of an integral part of our game. I think that's very important for us. And then, yeah, maybe I think that's for Flick to decide, of course. What are we going to do on defense? Is there something we need to do on defense? I guess you certainly could try something there. I mean, we all agree that Javi Martinez has done a good job, but he's probably not the perfect center back, you can imagine. I guess maybe you could try to do something there. Boateng is probably a bit faster than him, so maybe that's an idea, maybe not. But I think the other two are more important from my perspective.
I mean, I guess it's a possibility that you put Boateng back in the lineup and then you can move Alaba over to left back. And if you want, put Davies at left wing. That's probably not the ideal solution for me. I still think Coutinho as the left winger would be what I would want as well. But if we're talking about mixing things up, that would be a good shout. Tim, Sebastian brought up the midfield and how that's, you know, kind of an area that, again, doesn't have to be fixed, but maybe there's some tweaking that needs to be done there. On Saturday against Gladbach, would you stick with the Müller, Kimmich, Goretzka, all German midfield, or maybe bring in Tolisso or maybe even Thiago and kind of mix things up a little bit?
That's a very good question. That's a question I don't have an answer to, surprisingly. I'm so gifted and eloquent with everything else. Yeah, I guess they stay with it. Like, it worked really well, the Goretzka, Müller and Kimmich midfield. I do like that. I do think Tolisso's played well. I am wary that if Thiago comes in, then by force of habit, he'll be played as a lone six again, and that's not a good idea. I guess maybe, I think something we kind of mentioned last week is that Thiago often plays with like a real fire. So maybe this is the team, maybe this is the game to get him back in. Maybe not in place of Kimmich. I think he's far too valuable to our defensive stability. Maybe in place of Goretzka. I think Müller's in good form. I think between those three, Goretzka is probably the most, I guess, expendable isn't the right word to use. But he's the least very good. Please know what I'm trying to say, because I don't think I can finish that sentence.
I definitely do understand what you're trying to say there. And I do agree. I think if I was to take anyone off, it would be Goretzka. Not that I'm not a fan of his. I really do like Goretzka a lot, but I also
he was really good yesterday.
Yeah,
he was very dangerous going forward, coming back.
But I do think that, especially against a team like Gladbach, who are going to press really hard, that's just what they do. I think Tolisso offers a little bit more on the ball. I think he's got better ball retention. He's arguably a better passer. He just helps add a little bit more solidity into midfield, whereas Goretzka has more mobility and such, probably better defensive work. But I think if Tolisso can play like he did midweek, then I would like to see him paired with Kimmich, and obviously behind Müller in midfield. And but like I said, it's very marginal. I wouldn't be upset to see Goretzka. I do think I'd agree with what Sebastian said earlier, and that's that I really wouldn't like to see Thiago in the starting lineup. If he does have that fire and that passion and he wants to bring it, that's fine. Bring it from the bench until you can, you know, show that you're a better option than Goretzka or Tolisso are alongside Joshua Kimmich, who I would say is probably a mainstay in midfield. So, Garrett, I'm sure you would probably disagree with me there and argue that Leon Goretzka should stay in midfield.
Yeah, just because he's my guy, but I don't really have a good argument as to why not put Tolisso in, because when he's played, or as of late anyway, Tolisso's looked fantastic as well. So I wouldn't start throwing up hashtags if Tolisso plays over Goretzka, but I mean, just because Goretzka's kind of a player that I've kind of latched on to for whatever reason, I'd keep him in. I like what he gives Bayern going forward. But like you said, I mean, it really is they're kind of interchangeable at this point, which is kind of a good problem to have. And you just have to kind of, it's up to the Flick to kind of determine what the secret sauce is, like what's the right mix, what players do you put well together. I think you mentioned, or somebody mentioned in the chat yesterday during the match, that, or before the match, that it kind of seems like Tolisso and Müller play really well together, and Goretzka and Coutinho play really well together. And so maybe if you kind of have some combination of that, I'll cede to the knowledge of the group on what they what you guys think on that.
Well, Sebastian, since you are the one that first brought up the midfield and how maybe some tinkering should be needed, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the I guess debate, if you will.
Yeah, I'm pretty much with you there, Ben. I would go with Kimmich and Tolisso as kind of a double pivot. You talked about this as if it would be clear anyway that we would kind of go for double pivot, because I really think what we have seen recently was kind of more like Tolisso and Müller in front of Kimmich. I guess I would want to see Tolisso just stay back a little bit more, just have it a tiny bit more safe, and then I would be happy, I guess. And I totally agree with your reasoning on Tolisso being somewhat better on the ball than Goretzka is. So yeah, I totally agree with that part.
Yep, so we'll send this to Hansi Flick. Tolisso it is. If he's not in the starting lineup, then we rage.
I'm getting the carrier pigeon ready right now.
There you go. All right, well, one final thing before we wrap up. It's not totally Bayern Munich related, but it kind of is. The Euro 2020 group stage draw happened actually simultaneously with Saturday's match, and Germany was drawn alongside France and Portugal. So the last two World Cup winners are playing in a group with the last Euro winner. I know it's really early and a lot of things will change between now and the summer, but I want to hear everyone's early predictions as to who of those three will not make it out of the group, because no matter who else is drawn, whoever wins the playoff to be alongside them, they're obviously going to be the massive underdogs. So two of those three will likely make it out of the group. And then we'll start with you, Tim. So Germany, France, Portugal, early prediction for Euro 2020, who's going to drop out of that group of death?
Oh, I don't know. I guess part of me feels like France is actually not a terrible shout.
Oh.
I don't think they were brilliant in the World Cup. I think considering how talented that the individual players are, I mean, they're obviously great. I don't think they were that great. Obviously, everybody's going to be a year older. It depends if like Olivier Giroud is going to be called up again, because I feel like he didn't get any goals or assists or anything of any note, but he was still one of the most important players because him being on that pitch really frees up Griezmann. Oh man. This is impossible. This is such a who thought this was a good idea? You've got to blame Philipp Lahm for this. Who's going to drop out? Or whoever the team that hasn't qualified yet, I think they're probably the safest bet to be dropped out. Maybe Germany. I don't want it to be the case, but something has to change. I think that the attack is going to be fine if Leroy Sané is going to be back and Gnabry's going to be on form. And Werner, I think that's a really dangerous trio. An attacking trio, just everything behind that just leaves so much to be desired at times.
So
Yeah, if I was to put money on it, I'd say that Germany have probably got the lowest chance of getting through between them, France, and Portugal.
all right, so now that Tim's worked it all out for us, Sebastian, would you agree with him?
Yeah, well, I'm not so happy with the German national team right now. France is probably the most talented team in the whole tournament, but let's face it, Portugal is really shit always. I mean, they won last time, but they were easily the most shit winner of any Euro I have seen. So they were really not a good team. They were not even a team really. So I'm really, really not happy with Portugal at all. Have never been very scared of their national team at all. I think they are quite likely to not make it. I mean, if they make it above us, that's kind of on Germany. So yeah.
I can't argue with Sebastian here. I still don't understand how Portugal remains one of the better sides in international football. It's kind of mind-blowing to me. So in I don't know, maybe that says a lot about my football expertise, so to speak. But I just don't see them as being a team that should be one of the two to make it through. There's a little bit of Homerism with, wanting Germany to do well and not being completely not completely hating the French national team either. So but the main reason is just, you know, I still don't understand how Portugal wins matches as much as they have in the recent past. So yeah, they'd be my pick to go. I'm excited for, I might actually watch these matches. So that's, I mean, that works out pretty good for FIFA, for UEFA. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to watching those actually.
I'll throw another one in for Portugal, with my sole reasoning being that France and Germany will both be heavily represented by Bayern Munich players, assuming everyone stays fit or gets back to fitness, and everything. So even though I do think Germany are almost equally as likely to drop out for all the reasons that Tim brought up earlier. But that's going to wrap it up for this episode. So if you're a fan of the pod or if you've enjoyed listening, please do us a big favor and leave a 5-star review. We would greatly appreciate it. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SuperBayernPod to keep up to date. You can also get in touch with us by emailing us at superbayernpod@gmail.com. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, we're probably there. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.